This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, 91.9 FM Hood River and the Gorge, 104.3 FM Philomath and Corvallis. The time is 9 o'clock straight up. Coming up next, we pay a visit to the Oregon Food Bank on the eve of their biggest fundraiser, the Waterfront Blues Festival. Ross Freeman Levin speaks with staff and volunteers at the Portland facility. At 9:30, we have a change in the scheduled program. We'll hear the documentary, A New Way of Life and the New Underground Railroad, on the human face of those women who our society stigmatizes as criminals, felons, and offenders. At 10 o'clock here, Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, a report on immigration activists who sat in California Governor Jerry Brown's office yesterday demanding the governor support the Trust Act. And Dennis Bernstein speaks with Norman Solomon about the latest news on NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden. And at 11 o'clock on the KBOO Bike Show, Kristen Dahl of Travel Oregon, Alex Phillips of Oregon Parks and Recreation, and a few others to talk about the state of cycling around Oregon.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Grendel's, a neighborhood coffee house offering organic coffee, sandwiches for breakfast and lunch, and Wi-Fi. Proud to support KBOO, Grendel's is open every day at East Burnside and 8th. Information at 503-595-9550 or grendelscoffee.com.
July 1st, 2013. Station Navigator Report. Thank you, listeners. We had an overwhelming response to the recent program survey. 1,130 people submitted responses to the question, "Do you want to hear Tom Hartman on KBOO?" 764 people responded yes, that's 67%. 366 people responded no, that's 32%. There were 1,127 responses to the question, "Are you a KBOO member?" 640 people responded yes, 57%, 487 people responded no, 43%. There were responses to the survey left via phone messages, called in by listeners, emails, and given verbally at the station. These responses, split pretty evenly for and against the Hartman Show, were not included in the online results. However, next time we will have a secure way for listeners and members to respond who do not have access to a computer. This was just an information gathering survey, the results of which are now being turned over to the programming committee for discussion. The next meeting of the program committee will be Tuesday, July 9th at 6 p.m. at KBOO. Thanks again for your thoughtful comments, suggestions, and remarks associated with the survey and what you think should be aired on KBOO. This has been Lynn Fitch.
For 26 years, the observation of Independence Day has given Portland a serious case of the blues. But folks don't seem too upset about it because these blues will bring hundreds of musicians and thousands of their fans together for a common cause. The annual Waterfront Blues Festival does more than deliver world-class blues to enthusiastic crowds every year. The weekend of outdoor concerts serves a dual purpose. Blues fans from around the world gather to celebrate their love of music. Meanwhile, they are laying the financial foundation for feeding thousands of hungry people in Oregon and Southwest Washington. That's because the Waterfront Blues Festival is the largest annual fundraiser for the Oregon Food Bank. During these tough economic times, the significance of the food bank to hungry people in our communities cannot be overstated. One can learn a lot at the OregonFoodBank.com website about their work to end hunger. They do a great job of telling their story there, so I'm not going to rehash all that now. Instead, I'll be using the rest of this half hour to give you an insider's perspective on what it takes to host the largest blues festival west of the Mississippi. This year, I went behind the scenes and talked with Laura Golino De Lovato, Director of Development, Marketing, and Communications at the Oregon Food Bank. She described to me some of her team's advanced prep work for the Blues Festival, along with some of what you can expect to see this weekend on the Willamette River at Tomacall Waterfront Park in downtown Portland. I also got some helpful tips for attendees on how to best prepare for the heat and stay comfortable throughout the weekend. Here's my interview with Laura. But first, a taste of the Taj Mahal Trio, one of the many acts you'll find at the Waterfront Blues Festival this weekend.
I'm Laura Golino De Lovato. I'm the Director of Development, Marketing, and Communications at Oregon Food Bank. I've been here almost 6 years in our development department, which is the department that's responsible for fundraising. I have been in the director position for a couple of years, and my responsibility is to ensure that we raise enough money through contributions from individuals, foundations, corporations, organizations, any kind of partner, both in cash and also in the volunteer time, to assure that we get all of our expenses paid for so we are able to provide all of our services throughout Oregon and Clark County, Washington, and also cover all of our volunteer needs, repack all the food that volunteers come in and repack that's then distributed through our network.
And the Blues Festival specifically is, my remembrance is the largest annual event.
It's our largest fundraiser, so it's the largest single event in terms of both size and the amount of money that we bring in. So it's a critical part of what Oregon Food Bank does. And we've also, in the last 3 or 4 years, some great team members have been able to modify some of the messages we use to help attendees understand that when they come to the Blues Fest and donate their $10 and 2 cans of food, or they buy a special pass, or they give a sponsorship or make a larger donation, that that's going to Oregon Food Bank to help us support our programs.
The visibility factor of it has to be huge for you guys.
It's huge. It's huge. You know, it's an enormous event. We have 2,000 volunteers. The event itself is 4 stages, over 100 acts. We take up a huge area of the waterfront park. We have to bring everything down there and set up stages, porta potties. There's food vendors, there's merchandise vendors. We have to have security, massive logistics, and then the partner to that is the messaging effort that we do to make sure people understand that not only is it the largest Blues Fest west of the Mississippi, but it's our largest fundraiser, and they're helping support Oregon Food Bank.
So they can see kind of the depth of their impact way beyond just being at the being at the festival and the 2 cans of food and the $10. I mean, you have a pretty big presence there at the Blues Festival, doing educational outreach during the festival and all that.
Yeah, we have a Freedom from Hunger center where people can play games and learn about hunger and learn about, you know, what their donation through the event is doing to help address hunger in Oregon and Clark County, Washington. We have some literature and information at our info booth and around other parts of the event. In the sponsor pavilion where the sponsors come and have lunch, we have a lot of staff who use that opportunity to not only thank them for their support, but also continue to educate them about what's going on. We even do a little bit of education with some of the musicians. And when we go to get their signature on some of the event posters, we'll let them know that we're doing the signature so we can use the poster as an auction item at one of our fundraisers, and tell them a little bit more about Oregon Food Bank. And I personally have had an opportunity to have some conversations with some musicians in years past about how pleased they were to be here, to be at the event, helping out, raise money.
Do you find that the Blues Festival gets you more volunteers and more general public involvement with the food bank. People are there to enjoy the music. They're there to make a donation, to be community. But do you garner new volunteers or new citizen activity involvement with your food bank programs?
I would say probably overall, yes, but not a huge amount. I think with the volunteers, yes, we have a lot of corporate partners and organizational partners that see the Blues Fest as a great opportunity to come and participate as a team. And of course, we have dedicated volunteers who come and volunteer at Oregon Food Bank, but look forward to Blues Fest as being, you know, maybe one of the primary reasons that they are involved. Uh-huh. There are some people who just volunteer at the Blues Fest. I think that that's probably an area that we would look to improve, to see how we could transform Blues Fest attendees into hunger fighters who happen to just love the blues. You know, and I think that that's one of the things that I'm hoping that my department can do with this event and with some of our other activities in the coming years, coming 2 to 3 years.
Is there anything you're going to be highlighting at the Blues Festival to further increase people's awareness about the growing need?
We'll do a little bit of that at the Freedom from Hunger Center. That's a little bit about what that's about, is educating people that hunger is still very much a part of people's lives for a lot of our neighbors and community members in Oregon. We take advantage of what I call the jumbotrons, these big screens that we brought in initially to get close-ups of the musicians and all of that, but we use it for messaging in between, and we try to just have very short messages so people can just take that one bite and maybe ponder it a little bit. We don't want to detract from the blues and the musicians, and that it is a fun event and a fun way to also fight hunger and support Oregon Food Bank, but we do try to insert some messages. What we try to put in all of the messaging, especially that which shows up on the Jumbotron or when any OFB staff person is talking to a donor or a prospective donor or sponsor or any attendee, is a sort of bite-sized information that people can take in and absorb. We are using the Freedom from Hunger Center as sort of that platform to engage people in the hunger issue. And if that gets them to start asking questions, they had a good time, they played a game, they get this great button that says End Hunger, maybe they walk away asking themselves more questions. Are my neighbors hungry? Is some of my family struggling with hunger? If I am a teacher, are school kids in my area struggling? So we try to, you know, at least engage people in a fun way and get them to start thinking. We invite the city council, we'll invite the county commissioners, Multnomah County. Both the city and the county support the event. And so we would love to have them come down to the event, not only to meet our board and meet some of the volunteers, maybe they should volunteer themselves, and some of them do, but also to see what a great impact the event has in a very positive way on the economy within the city and county, and then reinforce it with some of that messaging.
So how many volunteers are going to be out at the event? Can you just describe your level of personnel involvement there? Just kind of what kind of attendance you're going to have and what kind of staffing you have to give people a picture of how big it is.
So of the 132 people that work at Oregon Food Bank at our four branches, I would say about 3/4 of them will be down at the event in one way or another. Probably there are going to probably be 25 people who will be there every day for 16 hours a day, and the rest of them will just be here and there.
Rotate.
So almost all staff is involved, and since we have 2 remote branches, one in Ontario and one in Tillamook, we don't always get their involvement because they have their own branch to take care of, obviously. And then we have about 2,000 volunteers filling about 2,500 volunteer slots. And those volunteers come from the whole spectrum of volunteers, individuals who volunteer regularly, people who only do the Blues Fest, corporate groups who are sponsoring the event. We also have a great partnership with PCC, who's doing the video. This is the 3rd year they've been doing it, I think, and that's a really great partnership. So we are trying to engage some new partners, you know, and new people by asking them to come down and participate in a special way. In PCC's case, they're donating to us their services. It's associated with a class of videographers, and they're just going to come down and videotape the event. And they've interviewed people who've been involved with the event for a long time. It's a great partnership. They can come down and practice some videotaping and capture some great tidbits of information and sound bites from some of the people involved.
Is there anything in specific you want to just highlight about the event, entertainment-wise? So what should people expect?
People should expect, I think, what the Blues Fest has always delivered, entertainment-wise, which is great musicians from local and throughout the country. Great diversity in the type of music. So if you like the real classic blues, we've got it. If you're really into Zydeco and you want to dance, we've got it. We've got the black and white checkered dance floor, and we've got a little bit in between. So we've got classic, sort of iconoclastic musicians, as well as new musicians that are bringing a new twist to the blues. For the first time ever, we're requiring a pass to get into the event on Sunday. And that's due to the fact that we've got these, you know, stellar performers, and of course the headliner Robert Plant and the sensational Shapeshifters. But we've got Robert Randolph, Mavis Staples, Taj Mahal Trio, plus Robert Plant, all on Sunday.
So that's the one day pass.
So that's the one day that requires a pass, and it's been an interesting experience presenting that to the community. Because we've always had the festival set up as a donation of a certain number of cans of food and a certain amount of money. And we were talking the other day about how like 25, 23 years ago it was $2 and two cans of food. And now it's $10 and two cans of food, which is the best deal you'll find for the music anywhere in the country. But the bottom line is that this is a fundraiser. This is the way that we bring in more revenue to support our services. And in looking at the opportunity to secure Robert Plant, to leverage that as an opportunity to raise funds, and also to make sure that we were setting clear expectations for attendees and dealing with crowd control issues, we felt the pass was the best way to do it. And so far, the response has been great.
Great.
And there's still passes available.
Okay.
Yeah, tickettomato.com.
Tickettomato.com.
Yes.
All right.
That's where you can buy, still buy a four-day pass or the one-day pass for just Sunday.
Maybe we can do a quick thing about how to prepare for going to the Blues mm-hmm. Festival, because it mm-hmm. sounds like heat is going to be a major issue.
Heat is going to be an issue.
If people show up on Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, they mm-hmm. need to have
$10
and
two cans of food, and it's a suggested donation. And
so people can give more.
We do have people who come in, and they might, on the first day of the event, they might give $100 or $40, and then the other days when they come in, they don't give anything because they've chosen to give it in advance. We have people who come in and give $20 a day. We have people who come in and give whatever they can, and it might not be $10, and they might not bring any cash, but they'll bring a bag of food. So really, it's that idea about you're sharing something of yours, cash or food.
And then on Sunday.
And then on Sunday, you need a pass. And so the passes, we have four levels of passes, but three of the levels of passes have already sold out. So the pass level that we have left is the basic blues pass. It'll get you in for all 4 days. And it means you can bypass the line of people waiting because you've already paid. So you can just get right in. It guarantees re-entry into the event. And then it gets you in on Sunday. It's $60. And the one-day pass for Sunday is $50. Neither of those are sold out. So there's okay. still plenty of those passes available.
So how should people prepare for being at the Blues Festival? I'm guessing sunscreen and a hat, but you can probably
sunscreen and a hat are probably the two most important things. And also, you want to make sure that if you're planning to be on the lawn area, that you've got a blanket to sit on, but we do have a limit to the tarp size. So a 6x8 foot tarp for two people, or an 8x12 foot tarp for four people. And this stuff's on our website.
So if people want to find out how best to prepare and what to expect when they get there, going to your website's
the
best way to go.
Waterfrontbluesfest.com. And then we suggest that people bring water. There is food and beverage available, but they could bring water if they want. Earplugs if you've got sensitive ears, depending on where you'd be sitting. A cooler, but a small cooler. And if people are planning to bring chairs, we ask that they bring the low sand chairs because people are on the lawn and you don't want to block the view of the person behind you. But yes, all of this stuff is available on our website.
And are you going to have cooling stations or anything for people who are just having issues with too much heat? Are you going to have anything?
We've got first aid station. We've got these neck bands. We're going to be selling the neck bands that you get wet, and they have a cooling crystal gel in them, and they work really well. We'll be selling hats at our merchandise booth. Some of our sponsors, Health Net Pavilion, will have sunscreen.
But it sounds like just being prepared for sun and heat.
Sun and heat, yes. and the noise, right, personal comfort. But you don't want to bring everything. Don't bring your cats and dogs and pets. So no pets allowed. It's service dogs only. Don't bring any fireworks. Don't bring any alcoholic beverages. We have plenty of good beer and wine.
There are beverages, both non-alcoholic and alcoholic, available inside the venue.
Inside the venue, we've got several great food vendors locally. We sell beer and wine. We sell water. There's a lot of the food vendors have lemonade and coffee and all sorts of other great stuff, and lots of food choices. So you don't need to bring down a lot of food. Maybe bring a little cash to maybe buy some food. We don't allow tents or umbrellas or anything like that. We want to try to keep the view as clear as possible, which is why the hats are really important.
So there are going to be a lot of people who can't make it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, mm-hmm. it's a limited space, and some people just can't cut the heat or can't mm-hmm. get there. But I know folks are going to be able to listen on KBOO mm-hmm. over the air.
Mm-hmm.
But what about folks who want to get involved, who can't come to the Blues Festival, but want to just, they're excited about what they're hearing and they're seeing. They can't get down there, but they want to be involved. Where do you point those people to?
So if they want to be involved in hunger relief, and they want to do more for their community to fight hunger, they should go to our website. We've got lots of ways that they can volunteer. We've got many volunteer opportunities. If they're interested in getting involved in hunger relief through the Blues, they can certainly reach out to us. You know, again, go to our website. There's ways to contact us on the website. And if they're particularly interested in the Blues, we can start, you know, working with them now to look at how they might get involved next year. OregonFoodBank.org and then WaterfrontBluesFest.com. And the WaterfrontBluesFest.com is really about the event itself and who's playing, clips of their music. You can set up your own schedule. You can, you know, see all this information. It's a great service that we're providing in addition to the event. It allows people to really prepare in terms of who they want to see at which stage when.
How early can people show up at the venue if they want to get their spot?
So the venue opens at 11. There is early entry at 11:30 for some pass holders. But if you didn't get your buddy pass or your benefactor pass, you're not going to get in early.
But you could get in line early,
Yes, okay. Yes. And then you can see where there's a seat available. You know, again, it depends who you want to see. A lot of people will go back and forth from one end of the event to the other.
Sure.
Because there's somebody down at the Miller Stage, which is at the south end of the event, and then there's somebody playing Zydeco, which is at the north end of the event. So you get a little exercise there, too.
Is there something on the Waterfront Blues Fest website helping people get to and from, as far as transportation goes, like what are the best routes to take for city buses or Max or what have you?
We definitely encourage people to take Max, and I think we identify which stops are closest. We direct people to TriMet's website to try to figure out the route, since it would be redundant for us to put route information. So it's NATO Parkway, directly across from the Marriott is the main entrance to the event. And so if you were going to go there by bus or Max,
me.
We would just recommend that you go to their website and look at what is the best
to get NATO
from your your location to NATO in Maine. And then we recommend that people carpool, that they park in any of the parking garages.
Are you going to have bicycle facilities down there, too, for people to lock up their bikes and what have you?
Yep. We have a big bicycle parking area. We also recommend people park on the east side and then walk over or take TriMet over to the west side. So anything to keep the congestion down. And if you want a spot on 4th of July on the lawn at the bowl area, that bowl-shaped area.
At the main stages.
At the main stage. Get there early. We do get a lot of people coming in the early evening on the 4th of July who want to come in, and the park can only accommodate a certain number of people.
On the 4th of July, will the fireworks be visible to the attendees of the event, or will they happen after the event?
The fireworks are placed on a barge in the Willamette River, and they're really pretty much visible from anywhere in that area.
So anyone attending the event who's not hiding behind a tree should be able to see the fireworks.
Right, but sometimes people like to get that nice spot on the lawn where they can sit back and watch them, and it does fill up. And I think, you know, on the fireworks, I guess the one other thing that I would add is that the fireworks are provided as part of this event by Oregon Food Bank. So that's part of what this event provides to the city is the fireworks show. And we are really happy to be able to do that as part of this great 4th of July celebration that, you know, that brings blues and the community together. But a lot of people think that the fireworks are put on by the city. And we just, you know, want people to understand that that's part of what we do is also put on the fireworks show.
What's the light that we should be seeking in this dark tunnel?
So really the light at the end of the tunnel is that there are definitely things that people can do and get involved in here, right here in Oregon, to fight hunger. And that can be anything from, you know, volunteering here at Oregon Food Bank to repack food, volunteering in the office to help us keep our costs down, or get engaged with the advocacy work that we do to support community awareness around public policy that affects hungry people, or legislation in the state that provides funds to support the food bank and our network. Despite what might seem to be that gloom and doom that sort of goes along with the effects of the recession are still here, people are still hungry, a third of the hungry people are children, that, you know, that's the dark side. But on the bright side, there are many, many things that individual people can do and groups can do to really help move us forward. And all it takes is going to our website, put in your zip code. You can find a regional food bank or a food pantry in your area. You can go volunteer for them. You can help them raise funds. You can help them get the word out. You can rally people
together. Can do a lot more than
just
donate food.
There's a lot more than just donating food or money. Both of those are good, but there's many, many ways to get involved, to take action, to participate in ending hunger.
Thank you so much for
helping. Well, thank you, Ross. We appreciate it. Yeah.
All right, great.
Absolutely.
We look forward to seeing you at the Blues Fest.
Absolutely. I'll be there.
All right.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, 91.9 FM Hood River in the Gorge, 104.3 FM Philomath and Corvallis. The time is 9:28. Coming up next at 9:30, we have a change in the scheduled program. We'll hear the documentary, A New Way of Life, and the new Underground Railroad, on the human face of those women in our society stigmatized by being called criminals, felons, and offenders.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to broadcast the 26th Annual Waterfront Blues Festival, a benefit for the Oregon Food Bank, because no one should go hungry. Thursday through Sunday, July 4th through 7th, KBOO will broadcast live from Tom McCall Waterfront Park to the Portland metro area. Throughout Oregon via radio partners in Ashland, Bend, Newport, Warm Springs, Salem, and more, as well as web streaming at kboo.fm. More information about admission, performers, and benefits for KBOO members can be found at kboo.fm.
director and executive director of a New Way of Life Reentry Project. The first house started in 1998. It started as my home with a desire to help those who were coming back after incarceration, help the women who were getting off the bus downtown Skid Row, totally unprepared to make a life. I figured if women had a safe place to go when they were released from prison, a place that they could call home, then the probability of them going back to prison would be lessened. And I found that to be real.
What must we do to build this movement? This movement that has been living in the hearts and souls of our people for so long? Well, first, we've got to start telling the truth. The whole truth. A truth born of deep and abiding love for all of us. Each and every one of us, including especially all those who have been locked up, locked out, ushered into a parallel social universe, stripped of basic civil and human rights, ushered into a permanent second-class status, all with the expectation that they will remain forgotten.
I'm Chris Moore Backman. You're listening to A New Way of Life and the New Underground Railroad, making a break for freedom during the era of mass incarceration.
Sometimes people have fear of doing good when they're not used to it. They're used to failure. I'm not fearful of failure anymore.
I am so not alone. I mean, from Susan to her staff to the ladies that's here and the people that come in, it's awesome. It's awesome.
You know, oh God, I've just been in some crazy places. Nothing like this. Nothing. I-